You're listening to sermons from Bethany Baptist Church of Chicago. For more information, visit us at bethanychicago.org.
Well, good morning. It's a great privilege and a blessing to be here speaking and sharing the Word of God. And this psalm is wonderful. It's a great psalm. So I want to ask you to open your Bibles in Psalm 22. It's so incredible. You can read the psalm, and then it's if first time. I'm sure it's not first time for you, but if it's first time for you to read this psalm, it's gonna be kind of hard to understand. But we're gonna use this morning a principle of hermeneutic, which is the interpretation of the Bible, that says that the Bible can interpret itself, right? So what happened here is that the Bible is just one story. It's not different stories. Well, actually, it's different people, different times, different stories. But it's just one story. It's not a story of man. It's the story of God. So it's all connected from the first to the last book, from Genesis to Revelation. And in between and among every verse, it's just one story, and it's all connected. So we're going to just use that principle and see how this is not manipulation of the Bible, but this is verses deep connected, because 600 years before was something was said, and then another person then is quoting that, which is both verses of the Bible inspired by the Holy Spirit in His infallible Word. So before we read, I just want to pray to ask the Holy Spirit to His guidance this morning. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful privilege we have to celebrate this day, which is very special in the year too, because we can remember something that you did for us, sending your only Son, Jesus Christ, in favor of us, that we don't deserve that mercy and grace upon us. And He walked among us, and He showed His power and love to His wisdom through every word He said. But He also, in His last hours, He was going through Jerusalem, and all the people was shouting His name and glorifying His name and saying that He was the King of Israel. But then the same people was mocking Him and treated Him in a different way and saying that they want to crucify Him. But He did it because He wanted to do it. Thank you, Lord, for this chapter of the Bible that we have today, that you use to compel us to walk in your wisdom. And we pray for your Holy Spirit to work in our hearts and show us what you want to show us. All of us, we're just one church, your children. But each of us needs to do something different in our lives. Our own struggles, our own problems. But we come to you, the only God that can help us. We pray this morning in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Psalm 22, verse 1, an ESV version, says, to the choir master, according to the Dough of the Dawn of Psalm of David. So this was a song that they used to sing. And I'm not sure if they were understanding what they were singing. in certain melody. The melody should be the Doe of the Dawn. So they knew about it. They memorized maybe the song, the same way we're singing many songs today. But this was a mystery, because the Jews, the Pharisees, the people who was interpreting the law, they couldn't understand when the Messiah came. They couldn't understand Psalm 22. It's so clear when he say every word. And we're going to see that for us today is now that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, is the one who God chose to save us. But we have a great privilege to have the Bible in our own language today, and also the Old Testament and the New Testament to understand what the Lord wants to teach us. So verse 1, the most impressive verse in the whole chapter for me. And if we can go through this first verse, we're just did the more hard part of the chapter. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? First of all, as David saying, my God, he's saying two times that he is his God. He's referring at the relationship that exists between David and God. But these are the same words that Jesus Christ said in Matthew, and Mark, and Luke, and John. But I want to read Matthew 27:46 for you. Matthew 27 and verse 46. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? This was not just something very similar to Psalm 22. But Jesus Christ was quoting Psalm 22. He was quoting David. He was saying, my God. He was saying, my God, I have a relationship with you. Why have you forsaken me? You are my Father. Why? There is a very important key in the verse 1, because David and Jesus Christ, they are saying, why? The question here is not if there was a separation between Jesus, which is who is the person of God. We believe in one God in three persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, because the Bible is teaching that truth. But the question is not if there was a separation. I don't know how to understand that. I'm not completely understanding that, because he's just one God. How can one God in three persons can be first three persons, and then how can they have a separation? Because he's not saying, are you forsaking me? No, he's saying, why? But if we read the apostles then in their writings in the Bible, in the New Testament, we're going to understand that was because he was in himself taking our sins. And then the relationship, it wasn't the same on that moment. It was saying, you are my God, but then here's a problem in our relationship. Something is happening that is different than the whole eternity. At this point is something happening that is different. Why have you forsaken me? And that's because of us that we are today gathering here. He did it because he wants to be obedient to God, and also because he loves us. He did it for you. Something completely different, something completely new, but in the mind of God before the foundation of the world. It wasn't something that he didn't know. But he prepared all those things in a way that his relationship was different with God. But then those who didn't want, can talk to him, now can talk to him. The sinners who were far from God now can have a relationship with God because Jesus Christ was on that cross. I want to continue with verse 2. Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer. And by night, but I find no rest. That was what he was living. Let's continue with, I want to jump to verse 6. But I'm a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They have mouths at me. They wag their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. So David was a person who was in trouble all his life, and God was working in him. But let me tell you something. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 39 says something very similar to what Psalm 22 says. Matthew 27 verse 39. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads. The same thing we read on Psalm 22. And saying, you who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. So also the chief priests with the scribes and elders mocked him, saying, he saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him if he desires him, for he said, I am the Son of God. I want to go again, Psalm 22, verse 8. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. The Pharisees and those evil persons right there were quoting Psalm 22 without knowing it. They were saying the same words that they were studying and memorizing against the Messiah. And they were fulfilling the prophecy of David without knowing it. And Jesus Christ knew that. They were tempting the Lord to come down from the cross and avoid his responsibility and the passion of his heart of save us and be obedient to the Lord. What a wonderful passage. Verse 9. Yet you are he who took me from the womb. You made me trust you at my mother's breasts. And you was I cast from my birth, and from my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble's near, and there is none to help. So in verse 1, he's saying, why you have forsaken me? But here, in this verses 9 to 11, he's saying that he trusts in the Lord, that he is trusting in the Father, that he is a sovereign God, because from the beginning, when he was born from the Virgin, he was under control. And every day of his life, was perfect. And also in that cross was in the plan of God. In the midst of many trouble and death and punishment and the wrath of God over him, he was aware that God was under control. And he was saying, "You are a sovereign God." How many times are we complaining because we're going through different troubles? We're crying. We're complaining before the Lord. It's not bad to cry. I think it's good. It's good when we are suffering and when we appreciate the suffering to grow, because God is taking us to that place because he wants us to grow. We're praying this morning for sanctification. The Bible says that we are justified by the work of Jesus Christ. So we're saints. We're pure and perfect in the sight of God. But also Apostle Paul is teaching that there is a progressive sanctification. And we have to work for that. And that's why we have to cry sometimes. But not complain. Have the same attitude Jesus Christ had in that moment. I believe he could came down from the cross, but he didn't. He was obedient. And we're not God. We can't control the life. We just have to accept that he is a sovereign God and he's under control of our life. Verses 12 to 15, it says, "Many bulls encompass me, strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me like a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It has melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death." It's a very poetical way to talk, but he's talking about what he's going through. He's suffering. He's going to a very hard moment. I think when we are suffering, we don't have to complain, but we have to talk to God and say what we are feeling, because he is the one who is going to listen to us. He's the one who is going to understand us. But then at the end is this very interesting verse 15. "You lay me in the dust of death." You lay me. So David is saying that God is the one who lay him in the dust of death. So Jesus Christ is also in that cross because God guided him to that point. So it could be that sometimes we're in trouble because God wants us to be there. That is not saying that our sin has consequences, and sometimes we're there because we are sinners and we fail to God. But his sovereignty, it's taking us to places that we can't control. And he's recognizing that. He's a very, very bad moment because God is taking him there. So why is Jesus Christ leaving that? Let me read for you something that Apostle Paul says. "For our sake he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." And there is a purpose of God to take Jesus Christ to the cross. Why is God taking Jesus Christ and laying him down to the dust of death? And Apostle Paul says that's because for our sake, God, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So Jesus Christ felt the abandonment of God, because the purpose was that the ones who were abandoned before now can have a relationship with God. Let's go forward to verses 16 and 17. For dogs encompass me, a company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. They stir and gloat over me. Well, there is again more prophecy that we also can read in different parts of the Bible. But I want to go to John chapter 19 and verses 31. John 19 verse 31. It says, John, since it was the day of preparation and so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for the Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. So what happened here is the people who was on the cross, if they were alive, one way to kill them, it was broken their legs in such a way that they can support their bodies on their legs, and then they can't breathe because they were hanging on their head and their hands. So they just die because they can't breathe. But let's keep going here, verse 32. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and on the other who had been crucified with him. Verse 33. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear. And at once there came out blood and water. He who saw it has borne witness. His testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, that you also may believe. For these things took place that the scripture might be fulfilled. No one of his bones will be broken. And again, another scripture says, they will look on him who they have pierced. Psalm 22, verse 17. I can count all my bones. They stir and gloat over me. Verse 16. They have pierced my hands and feet. There is David, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, saying things that happened at that point in John chapter 19. But also, let me tell you something. This is not first time. This is very interesting. There are a lot of prophecies that we can talk about. But the Jews were doing something every year, every time, again and again and again, since they were founded as a nation. They were doing this in Exodus chapter 12, verse 43 and forward. Exodus 12. 43 says, and the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, this is the statute of the Passover. No foreigner shall eat of it, but every slave that is bought for money may eat of it after you have circumcised him. No foreigner or hired worker may eat of it. So this is the Passover. And then 46 says, pay attention to this. It shall be eaten in one house. You shall not take any of the flesh outside of the house. And you shall not break any of its bones. So it was a commandment for the Jews on the Passover to sacrifice this animal. And then to eat it inside of the house. Just the nation. Just them. No, somebody else. Just the ones who believe in God. The Egyptians didn't. That's why they died. The firstborn died because they didn't eat the Passover. And then says that you shall not break any of its bones. And then Psalm 22 says, verse 17, I can count all my bones. And then John chapter 19 says that they did not break his legs. It was necessary. He died before that. He could count all his bones. Verse 18, Psalm 22, verse 18. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. So if you read Psalm 22 for the first time, you're going to say what it means. But then that's not something that is just interesting. But John is also telling about that. Verse chapter 19 and verse 23. John 19, verse 23. When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, to see whose it shall be. This was to fulfill the scripture which says, they divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. So there is John also understanding what was happening and also knowing that it was a prophecy by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit on the time of David and on the time of Jesus Christ, saying they're going to do this. Just because he wants to show us that he is the Messiah. He is the one that we have to believe. And I want to say that maybe you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior. But today is a great day to remember that he is our Savior. And we can keep believing in him and strengthen our faith, knowing that he is our God. And if you doesn't believe, you don't believe in him as your Savior, you should. Because we have a lot of evidence about he as our Savior, the only one Messiah sent from God. Let's go to verse 19 and forward. Psalm 22, verse 19. But you, O Lord, do not be far off. O you, my help, come quickly to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion. You have rescued me from the horns of the wild oxen. He was in trouble. He was suffering. But then he's praying to the only one who can save him. And then you can say, well, did God listen to the prayer of David? Did God listen to the prayer of Jesus Christ on the cross? Did he? Did he listen to him? Well, I like Hebrews. It's a very complex book in the Bible. Also, we don't know who wrote it. We know it is from inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7 says, in the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. So, yeah, God was listening to the words of Jesus Christ. And then also is telling us a lot about why he did it. He learned obedience, something that we have to learn today and every day. We need to learn obedience through the suffering we're having. So yes, he was heard. We're going to keep going. Verse 22 says, I will tell of your name to my brothers in the midst of the congregation. I will praise you. Now, he's going to kind of a different mood here. And now he's saying that he is suffering. He's surrounded by evil doers. And now he's saying that he's going to proclaim the name of the Lord. Verse 22, I will tell of your name to my brothers. The psalmist, David, is saying that it's affirming the importance of gathering as a church. It wasn't a church at that time, but it was a people of God gathering together. And he says, I'm going to tell to my brothers, I'm going to proclaim in the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. We're praying that this morning because it's for his glory. It's not because of us. It's not about our needs. It's not about us. It's not about my name. It's about his name. And then we're going to find our purpose. If we learn that it's about him, then we're going to rejoice ourselves. We're going to find our purpose. One good choice you did this morning is to come. And that's just good. And then, why? Why are you coming here? Because of God. Verse 25 says, from you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will perform before those who fear him. He presents his vow, his offering. And then he says that through his offering, the one who doesn't have something to eat is going to eat. What this means, so in Leviticus, you can read that at a certain point, the Jews were taking offerings. And they have 2 days to eat that. And then if they didn't finish his food on the first day, because it was a big offering that were taken to the temple, they can share with other people. If they have more money, they can have a big offering, and the poor, it doesn't have enough to eat, and then they can share with that person what they just brought to the temple. It's the same thing that is happening here today. And David is talking about the offering, an offering of peace. Not because he was required to take this offering to the temple, but because he wants to do it for the glory of God. It wasn't a responsibility. It just was a responding of the grace of God, knowing that he is just saved and he's trusting in the Lord. Now, he just presents his offering of peace in the presence of the Lord, and then sharing with those who doesn't have enough to eat. So today is the same thing that we can apply in our own life. Maybe you can share some things that you have in your hands, but the first responsibility that we have is to share that wonderful truth of the gospel that we have. We're enjoying such a wonderful gift. We can't keep it. And it's so infinite that it's enough for everybody in the world. And you are surrounded by people who doesn't know the Lord. And you can present your vows to the Lord, sharing the gospel to those who doesn't know him. Now it's a great challenge too, because people is going to reject the gospel. They have their own beliefs. You have to respect that, but you have to find ways to share the gospel with those who can't understand. Also pray, because it's not you who are going to convert the people, but it's the Holy Spirit who is going to work in the heart of the people. But it's only your responsibility to share with words the gospel, and also through your testimony, through your life. Let me just finish with Psalm 22, verse 29. All the prosperous of the earth eat and worship before him, shall bow all who go down to the dust, even the one who could not keep himself alive. What is David saying here is that every person in the earth is going to worship the name of God. The rich people, the poor people, the one who speaks English, the one who speaks Spanish, the one who speaks Chinese, the one who speaks Bengal in India. Every nation, every tongue is going to praise the name of the Lord. Everybody is going to recognize that he is the Lord. So his David is saying things that are going to happen in the future. And some of those things happen already because Jesus Christ came. But at the end, in verse 29, 30 and 31, and some of the verses before, he's saying things that are going to happen in the future, because we're not just looking in the past at the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, but looking forward to his second coming, when every nation, tongue, every person in the world, in the past, in the future, in the present, is going to recognize that Jesus Christ is the Lord and that is just one God. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28. Apostle Paul was teaching about the gospel and who is for. Verse 28, Galatians 3, verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. We're just one this morning. We're here because we want to worship his name and want to remember what he did for us. And this wonderful truth is to remember just not once a year, but every day, every single hour of our lives. Not dividing our life on sections, like this part of my life is my work, this part of my life is my family, this part of my life is church, this part of my life is my devotion in the morning. But that every area of your life can be filled with Jesus Christ. And every decision and everything you do could be lead to glorify God's name. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this morning and for your word, because it's so wonderful. It's amazing, Lord, and your Holy Spirit that is in us and between us is saying things that are going to take us this week. You are challenging our lives. God, I want to pray for every person this morning to touch their hearts. Lord, can you start with me, please, and with the leaders in this church, with every person that is visiting today too, every kid also that can understand your word, because your Holy Spirit doesn't have limits for them. You also love the kids. So we pray for them and for every family too who's represented this morning. We just love you, Lord. We are so thankful because you are given us your only Son. And today he's alive. And we know that. He just not died, but he resurrected and he alive. He lived today. And he can give us eternal life. Thank you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast from Bethany. Join us for Sunday worship at 3532 South Point Avenue in Chicago. For more information, visit BethanyChicago.org.